The big question in business, which is more important, a big drop in the unemployment rate or a meager report on job growth?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The nation's unemployment rate fell by nearly 0.5% in December. Meanwhile, the Labor Department just moments ago told us businesses and the government only added 103,000 jobs for the month. Let's get some analysis this morning from Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us on Fridays, live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Explain to us a little bit about this report, because I see a near 0.5% drop in unemployment, down to 9.4%. Wow, that sounds pretty cool, right? But then we have the disappointing job creation numbers. 100,000, just a little more than that. Doesn't quite jibe, does it?
No, but it makes sense because they're based on two separate surveys, which is why they often diverge. I think the more important number is the job creation number. You know, 104,000 is a disappointment. We need to see over 200,000 jobs a month to put some of these 14.5 million people back to work.
I was thinking it was going to be a better report than it was, given the more optimistic numbers we got earlier in the week. Remember?
Well, you know, yeah, Challenger Gray and Christmas said layoffs are tapering off, and obviously they are. ADP said that they had 297,000 private sector jobs. You know what? That's not been a very reliable predictor of government numbers. And the way they account for seasonal adjustments can often distort the numbers. So I think a lot of people have discounted the ADP number. It's good for a headline, but it doesn't often jibe.
So we get that headline earlier in the week, and then we get today's official, you know, this quote-unquote official report from the Labor Department, and people are a little disappointed.
Right. And I think the most important takeaway here is we still need to see more, you know, something like 150,000, 200,000 jobs to move forward in the jobs market.
Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Great to be with you.
The Detroit Auto Show starts on Monday. Organizers are really excited that after a couple of lackluster years, car makers are on the rebound, or appear to be on the rebound anyway, and car people are excited about a couple of new rides. Marketplace's Elisa Roth covers the auto industry for us.
The hottest cars at the show won't be crazy futuristic or luxurious top of the line. Michelle Krebs is an analyst at Edmunds.com. She says in the current economy, fanciful concept cars have gone the way of the Model T.
We are seeing a much more down-to-earth approach, introducing cars that people really will buy.
Favorites in Detroit this year will be a new sedan from VW, a mini minivan from Ford, and a revamped Honda Civic. The focus on the practical will extend to new technology, too. Michael Robinette is an analyst at IHS Automotive. He says that means technology we can use now or very soon.
Bringing electrification down to the common vehicle in some respects, reducing the price, really looking at more simpler systems that can save fuel and reduce emissions.
It wouldn't be an auto show without some glitz. Porsche, which skipped the last few years, will be back, ready to debut a new supercar. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly lower at the moment, about 0.5% to 1%. In Europe, investors are digesting new third quarter data that show the economy in the countries that use the euro didn't grow as much as expected. That out today. A mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell 25 points to close at 11,697.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
As the new year rang in, California became the first state in the nation to force big restaurant chains to post calorie information inside their stores and on their menu boards. Now, there's a similar law in effect in New York City that took effect last April. While the new law will help Californians make healthier food choices? Brian Elbel is assistant professor of medicine and health policy at New York University, and he's with us right now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
How does posting calories affect the way people eat out and the foods they choose?
The short answer is, for the populations we've studied thus far, it doesn't appear to have a large impact on the foods that people are choosing. That said, I think once it gets phased in towards a larger population and we look at larger populations, we might be seeing a larger effect.
Do people really pay attention to all this anyway? Are they looking at this stuff?
Some people clearly are, and there's clearly a subset of the population that really wants this information and likely is using it in a very meaningful way, but it's not necessarily everyone. Many people are going in, they're ordering what they always order, and they're moving on. But as these calorie labeling regulations get phased in across the country, with California happening now, that you might see an uptick in this, and you might see this information become a little more actualized in people's minds and be used in a larger way.
You know, Brian, do attitudes change depending upon where we're talking about here? So, I mean, say I'm in a fancy restaurant, I'm having a nice dinner. I don't think I'm so concerned about how many calories my, shrimp and grits will have, right?
So it's very possible, and we're just starting to look at these non-fast food places. That said, if you're going into a place where you thought those shrimp and grits were healthy and you realize that they're not, then you might sort of change your mind in a little different way. So it's really kind of about how the actual calories meet your expectations for how many calories there should be in that meal.
Posting these calorie counts has been touted as a way to make people stay slim, of course, make inroads on obesity. Is there truth in that?
It's possible that these labels, as they get rolled out, are going to have some influence on eating and hopefully healthy eating. But I think what we know so far is that they're not going to be enough. I think we're going to need other policies and regulations and movement on the business side to really have a larger scale influence on obesity. So we're going to need to look at things like pricing and advertising and marketing and availability of foods in certain communities.
Brian Elbel, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Health Policy at New York University. Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
Now I'm craving some shrimp and grits for breakfast. And finally, I came across this blog on the website Boing Boing. Writer and producer Andrea James touts the benefits of doing away with the alarm clock, that if you can go to bed at a reasonable hour, your body will wake you just in time for work or school, even for your morning airline flight. No help necessary. Thanks, Andrea, for the suggestion. I'm sure this could work for a lot of people. But I'd sleep better knowing that pilots and police officers and even the president all have their alarms set, maybe five of them. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Reward offered for information leading to the recovery of a certain piece of heavy-duty construction equipment.
Here's the loader right here, 624 John Deere loader. They stole that machine, and it was there Saturday. Came back Monday morning, it was gone.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, John Deere Bandits, next time on Marketplace. That and the day's business news from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.